Thank you, brave souls, for getting up early and coming today. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, particularly Portia Spence. This is her PhD research. Okay, I'm hitting it, and it's not moving. What do I need to do? Oh, there we go. I found out. Okay. North Carolina, like a lot of Southeast states, is rapidly urbanizing, which means that we have a lot of residential development. And these residential developments all have lots of lawn. In addition, we have a number of river basins in North Carolina which have been declared nutrient sensitive, and there are regulations that require both urban and agricultural areas to reduce nitrogen and or phosphorus. So these two things are occurring at the same time. The particular student that worked on this had a interest in nitrous oxide emissions, and so we were also interested in this. Whoops, I'm going backwards. Here we go. All right, so what we wanted to do was look at runoff losses of different nitrogen species, different phosphorus species, and total suspended solids. Ammonium nitrate, total dissolved nitrogen, toluol nitrogen, total phosphorus, phosphate, and total suspended solids, as well as nitrous oxide fluxes over a 24-hour period. We decided to do this study in Cary, North Carolina for a couple reasons. One, it's in one of those nutrient-sensitive river basins, the Neuse River. Secondly, we had done a study about 12 years ago looking at homeowner behavior vis-a-vis their lawns, and we found out that most people in Cary fertilize their lawns. Many also water, although this 69% is a little deceptive. Only about 10% of the folks had set irrigation sprinklers. Most people were moving their hoses. And so this is the location we chose. Now, we needed one neighborhood for all of our sampling. We needed homeowner permission, which is really hard to get. We needed different lawn maintenance, and we were able to find it in this particular neighborhood in Cary. Lawn 1 was the high fescue maintenance lawn. Lawn 2 was the low fescue maintenance lawn. And as a control, we have a residential forested site. The blue symbols are the watersheds, the brown symbols are the through-fall collectors, and the pins, the black pins, we have 3 nitrous oxide collectors per lawn. We knew we wouldn't be able to replicate this because trying to even find 3 watersheds that were similar in different lawns was hard enough. The other thing is when we sited these watersheds, we made sure that we were not getting runoff from the hard surfaces. That was really important to us. So let me tell you a little bit about these 3 lawns. The high fescue lawn had fertilizer applied 3 times a year at the correct times. This individual removed his clippings, which removed about 25 kilos of nitrogen per hectare per year. When evapotranspiration demand started in the spring, he would irrigate every single day at 0.3 centimeters. He aerated, reseeded in the fall, as well as limed, but he did not soil test. However, when we went and did a soil test for him, we found that it was very high, and he really didn't need to be applying fertilizer. This is our low-maintenance fescue lawn. They applied slow-release fertilizer once or twice a year, depending on when they called their lawn care provider. They didn't irrigate. They didn't reseed. They didn't do much except return their clippings. They didn't soil test either. In North Carolina, this particular soil phosphorus level would be high. And again, these people should not be applying phosphorus fertilizer. I want to say something about this fescue lawn because it doesn't look much like a fescue lawn. We delineated our watersheds, and it stopped raining in North Carolina. It was the worst drought we had had in 133 years. Our precipitation was more than 25% below normal. Our reservoirs almost ran dry. So there were some restrictions on watering. This is a picture of our through-fall collector. This is a picture of our nitrous oxide collector. And you will see in a subsequent slide that this fescue lawn did not look this bad when the experiment started. And these people, by their own admissions, were not the least bit interested in the cost or effort of lawn care, so they simply allowed their trees to drop leaves, they had a periwinkle understory, and they didn't do anything. Notice, however, that the soil test was medium, because these folks haven't been maintaining a lawn. And the reason I can be pejorative about these people is that this is my lawn. So I'm intimately familiar with it. One of the reasons we wanted the same neighborhood was we wanted to block against soil type. And so all of our soils that for our little watersheds were Cecil sandy loam. For any of you that care anything about soils, this happens to be the state soil of North Carolina. I'm very proud of that. Now, HMFL will refer to the high-maintenance fescue lawn, LMFL will be the low-maintenance, and RFL is the residential forested landscape. Obviously, these are southeastern soils that haven't been limed enough. They have low pHs. But the column that I really want you to look at is mean bulk density, which ranged from 0.9 to 1.1 grams per centimeter cubed. These were not statistically significantly different. And the reason they have such low bulk densities, you wouldn't expect this usually on an urban soil, but this neighborhood had been developed green, which meant they could only come in and disturb the area of the footprint of the house. So basically what we're looking at is undisturbed soils. And this will play a role when I talk about some of our losses. This is a picture of the low-maintenance fescue lawn when we started the experiment. You can see at this point that it's not in pretty good shape. We positioned the outlet of the watersheds at the lowest point for the little watershed so that we could collect runoff passively. We couldn't disturb the soils because of the aesthetics. We couldn't make noise. And so we simply had medical bags that were attached to Tygon tubing. Immediately after rainfall, we iced them down, took them back to the lab, and processed them for nutrient. We also measured the amount of runoff that we had collected. Nitrous oxide sample collection occurred initially in the morning after the rainfall event, excuse me, again in the afternoon, and then 24 hours later, and they were sampled within 48 hours using a GC. We are very indebted to EPA. They allowed us to use their machines, and we are most grateful. Let me talk about the nutrient inputs, since two of the locations fertilized. You can see the low-maintenance folks applied twice as much phosphorus as low-maintenance, but none of these folks really needed phosphorus. Total nitrogen inputs for the high-maintenance was 117 kilos per hectare per year, as opposed to the low-maintenance, 103 kilos per hectare per year. I don't have the nitrogen for the forested landscape because it only got through fall nitrogen, which was 12 kilos per hectare per year. We did a very rough calculation of nitrogen use efficiency, and it's only 19% for the high-maintenance lawn and 5% for the low-maintenance lawn, which means that the nitrogen is going someplace else. The delineated areas for our little watersheds were approximately the same, ranging from about 26 to 34. The two fescue lawns had the same slope of around 10%, and they were about three times greater in slope than the residential forested area. When you look at the total runoff, though, slope seems to have some, but that's not the major thing that's affecting the runoff. We had over twice as much runoff from our low-maintenance lawn as we did either our high-maintenance lawn or our forested area because of vegetative structure. We had enough vegetation there in both the high-maintenance and forested system to capture the rainfall, hold it while it infiltrated. Now, we did use a Cornell rainfall infiltrometer to look at infiltration rates. I'm not presenting them here simply because I don't have enough time. But these are well-structured soils, and we had high infiltration rates for all three of the soils. So it was really, the vegetation component that affected runoff more than anything else. As a percentage of rainfall, runoff was very low. It was less than 1%. I think this is attributed, number one, most importantly, to the drought, and secondly, these were well-structured soils, which you don't often find in urban areas. The graduate student did a statistical analysis to look at total runoff events, and indeed, the low-maintenance system was statistically different from either the high-maintenance or the forested landscape position. It was at least 2 to 3 times higher. And so we were having considerably more runoff from our low-maintenance lawn than our others. Now, I'm putting this data up. When she did the statistics, there's no statistical difference between landscape type and nitrogen concentration. And I'm simply putting it up to show you kind of the ranges we had between 2007, 2008 for the different nitrogen species. And although the forested system always had lower nitrogen concentrations for any of the given species, it wasn't, as I said previously, statistically different, I think because there was so much noise in the data. And sometimes high fescue lawn had lower nitrogen concentrations, and sometimes the low maintenance lawn had lower nitrogen concentrations. Although this data was interesting and it looks like the range that you see in the rest of the literature, the thing that I was most interested in and she was most interested in was how much actual loading we had from these sites. And the first thing that struck me is, since I typically work with agricultural systems, I'm used to looking at kilograms per hectare per year, not grams per hectare per year. We went through these calculations multiple times, not only myself, but also the soil physicist that's a co-author, to make sure that these weren't wrong. You can see that the loads are very, very low, although the low maintenance lawn always had higher nitrogen loads, regardless of the species. It always had higher phosphorus loads, regardless of the species, and it always had total suspended solids. This is clearly a function of runoff. The runoff is pushing these numbers. But again, these are very low, and so it begs the question of where are our nutrients in our urban areas coming from, and I'll talk about this in a few minutes. Now, this is the part of her work that was overseen by Wayne Robarge, and so I will try and do my best on this nitrous oxide, but this is not my area of research. The reason we're showing the data like this is that we just wanted to show you how much variability there was for our three sampling chambers within the same lawn type. So we had a tenfold difference from HMFL2 to HMFL1 within the same management unit. Very large differences from site to site. And even in the low maintenance lawn, and even the forested system where there's no actual nitrogen being applied, we still saw some of these variations. When we look between the high maintenance system and the low maintenance system, you can see that the high maintenance system has significantly more nitrous oxide emissions than the low maintenance system. It was getting water during the drought period on a daily basis. Low maintenance system only got water during rainfall events. And of course, the forested system had no nitrogen inputs except for throughfall, and it was only getting nitrogen when it rained too. The graduate student did a very sophisticated statistical analysis that I'm not presenting today because it would take the entire time. Thank you. And so I'm just going to show you this last slide and give you some indication of what she found in her statistics. Rainfall in centimeters is the green bar. The pinkish bar is the temperature. Of course, as the season progresses, the temperatures increase and they decrease. I also have to say that this was one of the hottest years on record until this past summer. So we had these low rainfall amounts, these very high temperatures. The high maintenance lawn got fertilizer in February. It received fertilizer in September. He also fertilized it in November, the way he should fertilize fescue. The low-maintenance lawn only received fertilizer in the September time frame. You can see that even as the fertilizer is applied, there's no real spike in nitrous oxide for the high-maintenance lawn until the temperatures start warming, and then it really increases dramatically. There was obviously a statistical difference between nitrous oxide fluxes in the high-maintenance lawn and the low-maintenance lawn. There was actually no statistical difference between the low-maintenance lawn and the forested system. And when she parsed these out by season, particularly for the summer and fall, the high-maintenance lawns was really significantly, much more significantly different than these other systems. The forested system just kind of is very low the whole time because it doesn't have much nitrogen being applied. So I want to talk about the implications of this. We did not find, well, let me go to the next one. We did not find a lot of nutrient losses from these three different systems, although we did see differences in the nutrient-suspended solids from the low maintenance to the high maintenance, simply because of the vegetative structure. One of the things that we need to think about when we're looking at these data is the gentleman that had the high maintenance system, he applied water every single day during a drought. And the reason he did it, water costs are very expensive in Cary. He had dug himself a well. And although I tried to talk to him about the relationship between groundwater and surface water, he didn't really care. He just kept irrigating. So we have to think about the cost of having this vegetative structure as far as water quantity is involved. Because we couldn't see much nitrogen loss via surface water flow, and because there's been experiments done in that area with golf courses looking at nitrogen leaching, those experiments only showed 2 to 4 kilos of nitrogen per hectare leach a year in these particular soil systems. So we don't believe there was much nitrogen leaching. There wasn't much nitrogen runoff. Therefore, it's got to be going someplace. In the low maintenance lawn, it certainly wasn't going into the vegetation because that system went from fescue to weeds and moss. And so there must be some other pathways such as volatilization or denitrification. Lastly, we saw a lot of nitrous oxide emissions, upwards of 40 kilos per hectare per year from the high maintenance lawn, which is quite large. But there was great spatial variability that we could attribute to water. And so with that, I'd be more than happy to take any questions. Do I have any time?
Thank you, Deanna.